in the Lord. And how many of us want to give up at times? How many times do you want to give up a day? Is that a better question? How many times do we want to give up in a day? Sometimes we think it's easier just to give up and just walk away and hide in our basements or hide in our, I don't know, where we want to hide, in our cave, our man cave. I'm not going to respond to that other one because I know I sent a joke out that my wife gave me and I just can't, I have to keep it in. It hurts. It is funny, but not right now. I don't know what you're saying. What is it? No. So for we do not want to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which comes to us in Asia. So they went through a lot of trouble in Asia. That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, he had the sentence of death on ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. You can underline that. It says, we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, that's who we trust in, to persevere, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and delivers us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. God still delivers us. He rises up. He delivers us through whatever we face. And sometimes as I talk about perseverance, we only sometimes see our issue. That's all we see. We cannot see, a lot of times we cannot see beyond the issue because we're so engulfed in it. And so easy at times when we are going through difficulty is just go to something that distracts us. Sometimes we use work for escaping. So we don't have to think about any of our lifestyle things or anything at home. We go to the TV. We could go to, I don't know, drugs or alcohol or something else that totally distracts us from really dealing with what we're going through. And we see that in our society today. How many, the fentanyl, alcohol abuse, drug abuse has gone rampant. Why? Because those people have no hope. They turn to those things to escape. So they don't have to really deal with it. And you think about, if I don't deal with it, how much better, how much worse it will get. And we also forget that we're called to be in a spiritual war. So the things that we are going through, are we asking, Lord, help me through this? And Lord, what is the purpose why I'm going through this stuff? Why am I? So the chief strategy to win a spiritual warfare is perseverance. Not to give up. Not to hide out. Not to run away. You know, it's amazing how sometimes we get things in our life gets really tough. We think, oh, I'll just move to a different country. Or I'll go to this place. I'll go to a different church. Or I'll go somewhere different. Do you know none of that will work? You don't run away from your troubles. Your troubles always seem to be following you. So we need to deal with our issues. The Bible teaches us to persevere in faith, trusting God to fulfill his promises. When we face difficulties, we can trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. that he understands our situation. He sees our distress. He's the only one who could actually penetrate and go to the very core of our issues. Not your wife, not TV, but time with the Lord Jesus. So when we feel like giving up, take time to remember God's faithfulness, who strengthens us to have resolve. So what's Proverbs 24:16? Proverbs 24:16. Here. Oh. Okay, go read this.
For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity.
What's 34? Psalms 34:19. Psalm 34:19.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them.
So the Lord delivers us from all our afflictions. So how about Psalm 37?
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
So the Lord upholds us. And when I was thinking yesterday about Proverbs 24:16, you know, even though a righteous man may fall seven times and rise up again. How many times have we fallen? Right? I think that how many times I fall and I repent and ask God for forgiveness. You know, the unrighteous will not repent. They just get further and further away from God. But I know when we fall and we repent to God, Lord, forgive me for I know I have sinned. What I did was not right. And he picks you back up again. And he puts you in the right relationship with the Father again. Like you're whole, right? Think about it. Like, that's the mercy of God, the grace of God. That we could actually have, that's why we can have perseverance. And we can take hope knowing that he's working in our lives. And he's changing us. He's changing your heart. He's changing your perspectives. He's changing your attitudes. So, Caitlin, how about Psalm 40? Psalm 40, verse 2.
He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand.
It's awesome that he's the only one that can do that, take us out of that pit. What's Ephesians 6, 13 to 14? It's open the floor to anybody. 13 to 14.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
What makes you stand firm? What makes us stand firm? Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand what's coming against us. If we're not standing right with the Lord, when things do come, we're going to be pushed around. And if I don't put on the full armor of God every day, we'll be tossed around. So stand your ground. In verse 14 says, stand firm. Have resolve. Don't back down from doing what is good. Don't back down from spending time with the Lord. Don't back down. Do what the Lord asks you to do. So renewing our thoughts by meditating on God's promises will not change our circumstances, but it will change your attitude. I think sometimes our attitudes are one of our worst enemies. I was thinking last week, you know, when I did track, I was thinking that afterwards, you know what, my mental, a lot of the training that we did was we had to do mental training. And the fact was, this one time I was at a track that was a slower track. Then the next day I went to LA for a track meet. And I actually ran slower on a fast track than I did on a terrible track. I made it to the finals, and I was only, my time was slower down there than it was up here on a slow track. Because my mind was not, I got caught up with all the things there. My mind wasn't focused on the beat. I was too nervous. I was doubting. I think about how sometimes we doubt the Word of God. Did God really say that? You know, Satan hopes that God's people will give up. That the circumstances, the tasks set before them, you know, the adversary desires us to fail. He wants you to give up. But we have the Lord Jesus who is encouraging His children to persevere, to push through. And that's why He has given us all things necessary. It's not that He will. He has already given us all things necessary to life and godliness. He has given us all things now. Do we take hold of it, what He has given us to us now? Not to be hoping that He will give it to us one day, but He has already given it to us. What's Revelation 12, 11?
And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death.
So they overcame Him by the word and by the word of their testimony. We're reminded of what God's been doing in our lives. You know, even, you know, we talk about how we share testimonies, how God has been working in our life. We're reminding ourselves how faithful God is. And it's sharing to other people the more the other story of how God has been faithful to them, how God has been faithful in this person's life and that person's life. And we get to see the big picture of how faithful God is. And when we go through difficulties and trials, we get to see how God was faithful in that situation for that person. And somebody else. Right? We share. Sometimes we don't want to share because we don't think, oh, you know, I don't want to share. But God wants us to share to encourage one another. To encourage one another in the faith. Here's a story. Paul Harvey. I don't know anybody. Who's Paul Harvey? No, not Steve Harvey. Okay, growing up, there's Paul Harvey. He says, and he goes, now you know the rest of the story. He was on the radio. Right? Steve Harvey or Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey. Now y'all got me all messed up. Paul Harvey. So here's the story. On October 20th, 1968. So the scene, Mexico City, the Olympic Stadium. The time, 7 p.m. The closing ceremonies had just been completed. The spectators and the athletes still warm up, still warm from the celebrations of the closing ceremony. We're gathering their belongings to leave the stadium. Then the announcer asked them to remain in their seats. Down the boulevard came a whining of a police car sirens. From their vantage point, many in the stadium could see this motorcyclist with his flashing blue lights, encircling someone making his way towards the stadium. Whoever it was, he was moving very slowly. Everyone remaining seated in the stadium. The public address announcer said that the final marathon runner would finally make his way into the arena and a last lap around the track. Confusion was evident among the crowd. The last marathon had come in hours ago. The medals had already been awarded. What had taken this man so long? But the first sign of the runner making his way out of the tunnel and onto the track told the whole story. So Joseph Stephen Okra from Tanzania was covered in blood, hobbled into the light. He had taken a horrible fall early in the race, whacked his head, damaged his knee, and endured a trampling before he could get back on his feet. There he was, over 40 kilometers later, stumbling his way to the finish line. The response of the crowd was overwhelming. It was almost frightening. They encouraged Aqua through the last few meters of his race with a thundering ovation that far exceeded the one given to the man hours earlier who came in first. And Aqua, I don't even know if I pronounced his last name correctly, but crossed the finish line. He collapsed into the arms of the medical personnel and was immediately whisked off to the hospital. The next day they asked him, and he appeared before sports and journalists to the field in their questions about his extraordinary feat. The first question was the one of any would have asked, why, after sustaining such a kind of injuries you did, why did you get up? And why did you proceed to the finish line? There is no way you could possibly place in the race. And here's John's answer. He goes, my country did not send me 11,000 kilometers to start a race. They sent me over 11,000 kilometers to finish one. Different. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's October 20th, 1968, Mexico City, what Paul Harvey wrote. So he finished the race. He took some bumps and bruises. Got trampled upon. In our life, sometimes we get trampled on. Sometimes we take some bumps. Sometimes we get bloodied. We get to stay there. we just give up or we give back up. So how much more important is it to finish the race? It's important to finish the race. No matter what happens during that race, it's called perseverance. So in Hebrews 12, 1-3, we have people cheering us on not to give up. Okay. Hebrews 12, 1-3.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds.
Think about this: when that race runner comes in and they find out that he fell, start cheering him. Think about these great cloud of witnesses. Think about the people that are in your life who are cheering you on. Does that not encourage you to finish well? Doesn't matter what place you got, but you finished. It's easy to give up. So easy to give up. So easy to say that I'm a victim of my circumstances. I'm a victim of this, I'm a victim of that. We're not called to be victims. We're called to be overcomers. Christ helps us to overcome. You know, many start, but very few finish. I think about the remnant of the body. So many people profess that they're followers of Christ, but are they really? Through these times, and you're going to see a lot of things, people falling away from the faith. That's why you see so many people are being duped from these signs and wonders. And so they get carried away with wrongful teaching. We need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. So they... with the cloud of witnesses, they're inspiring us to finish well. You know, when we finish well, what do other people who do not know Christ see? Perseverance. They might ask you, how did you go through that most difficult time in your life? How did you get through that? How did you get through that difficult time? And you can say, well, it wasn't my strength. The Lord, I kept my eyes fixed on the Lord. He helped me through it. There were some bumps and bruises, some falls, some setbacks. But I kept my eyes on the Lord. He helped me through it. He encouraged me through it. He gave me scripture as I spend time with him daily. He gave me scripture to encourage me, to help me. Man, I really want to give up at times, but he helped me through it. He gave me such overwhelming peace and joy. How many people do we know in our own lives who are missing that, who want the same thing? So many. You know, in the light of today's culture, the pressure against God's holy word, there's so much pressure pushing against it. And when you stand up for what is right and what is true, it'd be like some people are going to come hard against you, but some are going to say, I'm glad you stay firm and rooted. You don't back down. I'll read Galatians 6, verse 9 to 10. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. So Galatians 6, 9 to 10 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There is a treasure if we do not lose heart. There's a prize when we continue to persevere. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, we get a prize. Peter 3:15 says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, and have a good conscience. So with meekness, sharing the truth with them, in meekness and love and compassion, but not compromising what God's done. So the command to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks reveals the faith that you have in the one who does not let you down, the one who's always there, the one that's upholding you by your hand. So what's Ephesians 2:10?
We are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
So we have a race. He's predestined us to run a race. We all have a different race. Right? He predestined us to be in this. We are his workmanship. It means he's working things out in us. And he's encouraging us and helping us. And he wants us, he equips us, he takes things away to help us to get freed from bondage and sin and all the other stuff that holds us back. So we can run this race with perseverance, not grown weary, tired. Because now when you're running, you don't want as much, you want the less good shoes and clothes that are not dragging you down. You don't run with a house coat or a rain jacket. You run with a shirt and t-shirt or pants or shorts. Right? You run. Free. So Titus 2:10. Okay. Titus 2:10. You want to read it? Yeah.
Nor to steal by taking things of small value, but to prove themselves truly loyal and entirely reliable and faithful throughout, so that in everything they may be an ornament and do credit to the teaching which is from and about God our Savior.
Before that, he was talking about the servants. And since we're bondservants of Christ, right, he's saying that do not pilfer, do not steal small things, but show all good fidelity. So fidelity is faithfulness to a person. That's what fidelity is, being faithful to a person. So we're faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're faithful to our belief. We demonstrate by our continued loyalty and support to God Almighty. And in that, so that they may adore the doctrine of the good of our Lord Jesus. They will see something different about you because of how you're living. Actually, the gospel living being lived out through you in your life. Even though at times you may fall 7 times, you get back up. They see that. But how do you finish? They see you. They watch you. They want to know, is this true? Is this what you believe is actually true? Or is it just fluff? So they watch you. How do we live? Do we promote? Do we live the gospel? I know sometimes I fail. To be a follower of Christ is to be a spiritual warrior. Without question, you will face spiritual opposition from the enemy as you take steps to abide and apply the Word of God to your life. Trust the Holy Spirit to sanctify you as you continue to yield and die to ourselves. So perseverance is essential for growing our character, to grow in godly character. So James 1:2-4, last scripture. Oh, what? One more scripture after that. James 1:2-4. No, James. Yeah.
All joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Perseverance must finish its work so that you become mature and complete. God desires us to persevere. 2 Peter 1:4, by which he has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers in divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, verse 5 says, but also, for this very reason, give all diligence. Diligence. Working at it. Not to give up, but work at it. To add to your faith virtue. So not thinking and doing what is right in God's eye. So virtue is doing what God wants you to do. What's good? What does God want you to do? To live holy and righteous lives. That's what virtue is. To live godly lives. To add to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. I think sometimes we lack self-control. And to self-control, you know, I like, so if you, we, our self-control then goes to perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in godly characters, to to house our proper response to daily pressures or irritations in our life. How do we respond to daily pressures and irritations in our life today? This is how you grow in character. And so what's our response is dealing with difficult people. I fail at that one. I struggle with difficult people. But how do I respond to that? God shows to me where I'm failing, that I need help to deal with difficult people. Because like I have a root of bitterness and resentment that can rise up in me. How about pressures associated with meeting the needs of our spouses, our families, and friends? How is our response to suffering and trials? When God disciplines us, when we fall short, how do we receive God's discipline? Just like a child, our children, sometimes when we discipline our children out of love, they react and we throw fits. And sometimes I throw a fit. Right, Zane? But to grow in godly character, God initiates circumstances in our lives to help us to grow in perseverance, to grow in godly character. Do we desire to grow? Are we willing to be teachable? Are we willing to stand firm in the gospel? Are we willing to persevere? Even though doing good, people are going to come against us. Are we willing to stay true to the word of God without compromise? And as we ask the Lord to strengthen us, He will help us. I think of throughout Daniel in Babylon, he lived in an ungodly country. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they lived in an ungodly country full of idols. You look at Noah, very ungodly nation, world. He was the only, in his family, the only ones found righteous. For us, we are living, we're godly people living in an ungodly world. We're supposed to be God's hands and His feet, His light, the salt of this earth. Be bearers of Christ. So throughout history of the Bible, we see God's people being a light in the world of darkness. What a great time to be living in. We get to share the truth of our hope, to share Christ to people who are perishing. I hope that'd be our perspective. Don't fret about what's happened in this world. It has to happen. But are we willing to share the truth of the gospel to those who are perishing? That's the thing. What matters most. That's really what God's heart is. That no one would be lost. That people will come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. So don't give up. Persevere. Do what is right. Don't give up. We're cheering you on, even with our Chicago Blackhawks shirt. So, Father, we thank you that you have placed so many people around us in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on to finish well the race that you have placed us in. So Lord, help us to persevere. Thank you, Lord, that you are sanctifying us, revealing things in our lives that we need to be let go of, what's tripping us up. Thank you that you Well, thank you for taking things away in our lives so that we could run with perseverance the race that you have before us. So Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, let us be not so concerned about what's happening in this world to a degree that overwhelms us. But Lord, help us to stand up for what is true, what is holy. But Lord, help us to have a passion, a love for those who do not know you. So Lord, we know we're going to meet you in the air sooner than later. Lord, we know that you're coming soon. Your appearing is coming sooner than we think. So Lord, help us to be ready and prepared for what you have said in our hearts to do for you. In Jesus' name.